Before we begin this morning, I'd ask you if you would to bow with me one more time in just a brief moment of prayer. Our Holy Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, for your Son, and for the privilege to glorify your name. Help me today as I speak from your word. I pray that you will grant receptive hearts, that you will accomplish what you desire, and then in all things you will be glorified. For in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As you may know, on the back of your sheet, it's blank this morning, and it's blank for a reason. I had prepared or planned to preach on Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. But every once in a while, and if you've been around preachers very long, you know that there are things that happen that they have to kind of change gears, go a different direction. That happened with me this past week. I'm going to do my best to get through this morning. Thursday morning, I got a phone call. Actually, I got several phone calls. This year, I will have been directing camp for 30 years. For the last almost 15 years, I've had the same head cook. I watched her grow up at camp, married her and her husband, and they had their first and only child a month after I came here in 2002. Thursday morning, I had Joe Rhodes try to reach me three times on my cell phone, which was downstairs and while I was upstairs getting ready. When I answered the phone, he told me, he said, I don't know if you know this yet, but Janie's son, Logan, died last night. Logan was 13 years old. Some of you have already heard about it. Most of our kids know about it. A lot of kids are aware of it. Logan was a very bright young man. He could just light up a room by walking in. He was an encourager. He loved life. He loved everything about being around other people at camp. He was just one of those that always tended to find the good side. His grandmother had lost her husband last year, and even when she was in the doldrums, he could walk in and just say something that would just kind of pick her up. That was Logan. What happened was Logan, like so many of our young people, looks at Facebook, YouTube, social media. There was a challenge on YouTube. He thought he'd try it. As a matter of fact, he had even communicated with a close friend from church in the youth group what he was going to do because it was a little prank and he thought he would scare his little girlfriend. So he was going to practice it at home while mom and dad were away. It went awry. It cost him his life. And I've struggled with that because last night, my wife and I, and many of you may know, Kyle and Kayla took a group up from this congregation to be there. The funeral home in Dixon was just packed. The line was wrapped around, and if you know Taylor Funeral Home, and up and over into the old section of the funeral home. For 2 hours, it was like that. And I got to thinking about what possibly can come out of this, what good can come out of what's happened. And I want to share with you some things from God's Word, and I want to start by addressing our young people because they are very precious to us. And I hope that you're listening this morning because this is important. And I want to begin with this. And I've jotted down a few things, typed them up, so I'm trying to stay with what I've said. But here's what I want to say to you, and that is that your life is precious. Your life is a gift from God. Don't let anybody ever tell you otherwise. If you go back to the beginning, if you go back to the beginning of the Bible and you begin reading through Genesis and you come to chapter 2 and you look at verse 7, the thing that Moses writes for us there is that God took some of the dust and formed it and fashioned as a man and breathed into that and that man or that dust created by God into the fashion as a man, he breathed into that man, and that became what was called the breath of life. That man became a living being. We exist because God created us. We have value because God gives us value. You go over to Psalm chapter 8 and you begin that psalm, and it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And as David is writing that psalm, I can see him looking up at the heavens, and he's admiring the starry host, and he's talking about how great the host is. And then he asked a question, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take thought of him? And he answers that in verse 5 of Psalm chapter 8, and he says, you have made him a little lower than God. You crown him with majesty and honor. Young people, God has made you just a little lower than himself. And he has crowned you with glory and honor because that's the God we serve. Now, what does that say? What do I want you to take away from this morning? It's this: how you live your life, how you live all of your life, is very important. In Proverbs chapter 4, we know verse 23, we've heard it, because it talks about guarding our heart with all diligence. It says that out of the heart flow the issues or the wellsprings of life. But I want you to listen to the other verses just below that that finish out what Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 4. He says there in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. He says there in verse 24 this. He says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. If you notice, he addresses four different things. He says, guard your heart. Out of your heart flow the wellsprings of life. In verse 25, verse 24, he talks about guarding our mouths, keeping ourselves from a deceitful mouth. In verse 25, he talks about guarding our eyes, what we look at, what we pay attention to. In verse 26, he talks about watching where we go, where we take ourselves. There was a little song that I grew up many years ago, learning in VBS. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And it ends with, for the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, whatever it is. Little eyes, what you see. Little ears, what you hear. Little mouth, what you say. Little hands, what you do. Paul put it another way. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, he says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Evil companionship. Young people, it only takes one bad choice. It only takes one bad choice to damage your life or even to destroy your life. So all it takes is one. And I'm standing here today to tell you that as a teenager, as a young person, when I was in your shoes, were it not for the grace of God, I might not be here today because I made some bad choices. They just didn't turn out the way they could have turned out. I've been blessed by that. God spared me from what could have gone wrong in my life at different points. But what I'm saying to you is learn how to discern between good and evil. Learn how to discern between what is right and what is wrong, between what is truth and what is a lie. Be careful what you pay attention to on social media. Don't believe everything you see on Facebook and Twitter. And please do not accept those challenges that are put out either there or on YouTube. Young people, Satan wants you. And he's, as Peter says, he's prowling about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Don't let it be you. I'm asking you to avoid those things. And even more, develop a relationship with your parents where you can seek godly advice from them. Be willing to go to your mom or your dad and say, one of the kids at school is talking about this. What do I need to do? I've been sent a challenge on Facebook. How do I need to respond? And listen to your parents, because God put them in your life for a purpose. They are there to guide you, to help you grow into mature young men and women who will honor Him all the days of your life, so that it will be, as Paul says, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon this earth. There are too many things that can take your life while you're young. And I know some of those things are what others will do to us, but don't let it be because of something you have chosen to do in your own life. Be wise. Ask God for wisdom. Seek to do the right thing. This young man had a friend that was trying to discourage him from what he thought he would do, and he thought, I can do it. It'll be okay. It wasn't okay. But for those of you who are parents here this morning, your children are God's gift to you. Your children are God's gift to you. In Psalm 127, the psalmist writes, behold, children are a gift of God. The fruit of the womb is a reward. He said, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And then he writes, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Don't take your children for granted. Don't see them as just some frustration that you have to deal with going through life. Cherish every moment with them, even the difficult ones. And you will have difficult ones if you haven't already. But cherish those. Learn from them. Grow with your kids. Know that God has given you a blessing, even if it is for a brief period of time. But parents, even more, I know so many of you are active with your children in all of the different activities that this community offers, whether it's sports or other activities. But there's a greater thing that I want to encourage you to do for your children. I want to encourage you to guard their hearts and to guard their minds, because that's your responsibility. You're blessed to live in a community that to a great extent protects them from so much of what the world is exposing kids to outside of the small area of Humphreys County. But even that being said, they have access to other things, and their minds take in things that many of us don't even know. You know, Solomon said that we are to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. But training requires that we spend time with them. Paul said that we as fathers are not to provoke our children to wrath, but we're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition or the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. My question is this: how well do you know your children? Do you know what they're doing? Do you know what they're watching? Do you know what they're looking at on YouTube? Do you know what they're saying on Facebook to their friends? Do you know what they're instant messaging back and forth between one another? This little challenge that, from what I found out, has been going around the nation, and there are about three different ones, and I'm sure there are more, that are very harmful, can cost lives and have cost several young people their lives. I asked the youth minister from the congregation in Pond where this young man attended, I said, did you even know what this was? He said, I'd never heard of it before. His mom Logan's mom had never heard of it before. It took a friend, because initially they thought it had been suicide. It took a friend to say, oh, no, that wasn't what happened. He was doing this challenge. Challenge? What challenge? And he began to explain to them where you found it. The instructions were there. Video showed you how to do it. Parents, guard what your kids watch. Protect them from those things that are out there to destroy their lives. You only have them for a short while. Don't let that short while turn into a period of grief for you because of something they chose to do that you didn't know was going on. And sometimes we have to rely on each other. And sometimes we have to say, tell me. I had to ask because I didn't know. But then the last thing is to those of us, the rest of us, who think, well, I've raised my kids. My kids are grown and have kids of their own now. But we too have a responsibility. I want you to look around for just a moment. And I want you to see all these little heads that are just barely above the pews and some that are a little bit further above the pews. And I want you to stop and think for just a moment. I have a responsibility to them. Because these young people, their lives are precious, their souls matter to God, and they should matter to us. And they are the future of this congregation. If it were not for these young people, we would be a congregation of dying old people. But they need loving guidance. And yes, they need firm discipline at times. They need help so that they don't make mistakes from which they can never recover. And I could stand up here and share with you story after story about young people that I know that never made it into adulthood, and I'm sure many of you could do the same because of poor choices, because they didn't get good guidance, because somebody wasn't paying attention when they needed to be paying attention. Folks, the greatest legacy that we can leave for ourselves is that we, through our lives, have touched so many young people that those young people, when they become adults, they will look back on their lives and they will say, you know, had it not been for, and you fill in the blank, and they name one of you, I would not be where I'm at today. I can do that. I can go back in my life and I can begin naming for you adults in my life who made a difference, who encouraged me, who challenged me to be more than I thought I could be. Our young people need that from you. They are your children as much as they are the children of the parents who bore them. Their souls are just as valuable as the souls of the children you physically gave birth to and that you raised for 18, 20, or however long. So what can we do? The truth be known. Many of us, if we're honest, would be quick to admit, you know, I did some things in my youth that I'm not proud of. And I'm fortunate to be able to stand here and talk about them because I've been spared. And we have wisdom. We have wisdom that we can share with these young people. And we need to be willing to share that wisdom. But I want you to do this. I want you to go home today and I want you to get out your church directory and I want you to make a list of every young family in this church. I want you to list them by name. I want you to put mom, dad, and list the kids. And I want that to become your prayer list. I'm asking you to pray specifically for every individual on that prayer list. Pray for those parents as they are trying their best to raise their kids in a way that honors God. Pray for those children that they will listen to their mother and their father and that they will seek the wisdom that God alone can give them. But then beyond that, spend time with them. Go up to one of them and strike up a conversation with them. Begin to talk to them and get to know them some, because you'll find that they will listen to you more if you pay attention to them. Develop the type of relationship with them that they feel that they can come to you and talk to you about anything. It's amazing sometimes how much a child will open up to a grandfatherly type or a grandmotherly type simply because they feel like this person is really fun to be around. This person is nice to talk to. He's got some great things to say. But ask God to guide you as you seek to influence them. Because we want a church of God's people moving in the direction God wants them to go. You know, in warfare, officers often ask the question, what are acceptable losses in this battle? Folks, we're engaged in a battle in which there are no acceptable losses. It's not acceptable to lose one single young person from this church family. Just as it's not acceptable to lose one single adult from this church family because they have wandered away from God and their souls have taken a different turn. It's not acceptable, and we should not let it be acceptable. My challenge to each of us this morning is that we do everything within our power to make sure that every young person in this building and everyone we can reach outside of this building has an eternal home with a Father in heaven who loves them and who wants them to be with Him eternally. And I'm asking you to accept that challenge because it's a good challenge. It's a worthwhile challenge because it's a challenge that has to do with eternity. It has to do with everything that is good and right and pure in God's eyes. This morning, I know there's someone in this audience that's not a Christian. And you know, you can't point a young person to heaven if you're not a child of God yourself. You can't lead someone where you haven't gone or where you're not headed. And today would be a good day for you to set a good example of what God really wants in our lives. His grace is greater than all of our sins. It's a great song that Ray has picked out. And we all need grace. Because Paul said there, but by the grace of God go I. If you're not a child of God, if you've not put Him on in baptism, if you've not confessed the sweet name of Jesus, if you've not turned from sin in your life, why not do it today? Why not walk that road with the rest of us? Travel that journey toward a heavenly home. If you need to respond to our God's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?